I am the third generation of a Christian and implementing my principles that comes from the Bible, trying to raise my family in a godly way. I chose to come to you today because I believe that missions is the lifeblood of the church. It's the lifeblood of the church. As the body cannot survive without blood, so the church cannot survive without missions. As the physical body becomes weak without sufficient oxygen carrying, in the same way, church cannot survive without missions. In Matthew chapter 24, just to begin with the scripture this morning, verse 14, the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word will never pass away. So this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached to the whole world before the end comes. This is the scripture, the foundation for our talk this morning. And I appreciate your dedication and love for missions. I appreciate your dedication and love for the Christian education. The country where I grew up, Christian education was not even a possibility. And people would grow up without knowing who God is. They would not know that the forgiveness of sins really exists. But they would know that Saint Mary is the one who provides salvation. Who is Saint Mary? I'm not going to discuss this morning, but I just wanted to give you an illustration. Now, this is the picture of the city where we spent 14 years doing the church planting. This is the capital of Poland. And this building in the center, that is the gift from Stalin, who built this up to make sure that Poland would become next state of Soviet Union. Thank God it never happened. See, evangelism in Poland is so important because that's the place where I was born. I lived there until I was 28 years old, and then I came to the United States, and my entry city was Denver, Colorado. Beautiful mountains. As I entered that place, as I decided to come to be more educated in the Bible, I have recognized the fact that my English was not sufficient enough. And I started to attend classes as I would record them. And then I would go home and write word by word what I just heard. And in 6 months, my English was improving so enormously that I could even have a discussion about things, and nobody at that time would consider me to be a kid, in the linguistical manner, of course. Wherever you go to the foreign field and you cannot communicate, you always depend on the translator. It's good when these are entrusted, godly men that then can translate. But what happens when you have a translator who is not as in favor with what you are saying and trying to convey? Then the troubles arise. Warsaw was a beautiful place. The concept of missions, we emphasize today, the lifeblood of church life. What does this mean? That we have to actually reach to the crowds. We have to reach to all of these people. Some of you may recognize the location, but notice that these people there, they are baby boomers and millennials. And these are the people who are searching for the gospel. I'd just like to introduce my entire family to you. God has blessed us with 5 children. My wife is here. Adam is here. Then John and Daniel and Roman and Kate, wonderful family, and we have been working and serving the Lord in Warsaw, Poland, for 14 years. Maybe in the audience today, there are some people who would consider going to the mission field in the future. I think that's a good thing to consider, because the scripture says, that the gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached to the entire world. And today, maybe in the audience, there are some people who are considering going somewhere. Poland would be the great place to consider for the missionary work. Notice that Poland is centrally located, and it has is surrounded by Russia, Lithuania, Belarus, Ukraine, Romania even. When we see Czech Republic before, we had Czechoslovakia, and then Germany before it was East Germany. So 1989 is the turning point in the European history when the Berlin Wall collapses and new nations are established. God changes the circumstances. God is done with the communism, with the lifestyle that is a totalitarian control over your mind and what you can do, and whether you're allowed to believe in someone else that you can believe and trust, or maybe there's no one else. We just are materialistic society, depending on principles created by Lenin and Stalin. Total world totalitarian concept. God was done with communism. And he's done with communism in other countries in the world, as we witness in the 21st century. Poland is the ninth largest country in Europe, with a population of more than 38 million. I'm not really planning to have a mission report here. I'm bringing to you some of the information that is relevant to spreading of the kingdom of God. And I want to show you on the case of Polish missionary encounters how the mission work ought to be done according to the scripture, according to the dynamics, with the proper emphasis that is so necessary in order to succeed in this work. Poland's history is a state that begins near middle of the 10th century. For all these years, living without God. And then notice that Poland has been invaded or has fought for freedom in insurrections 43 times. There would be encounters of invasion from Russia, from Germany, from all of these neighboring countries that would want to take over Poland. When you're thinking about establishing a church, I came up with an excellent, excellent presentation that we need to have those four selves as you encounter, whether you're going to work in the short-term missions or long-term missions. These are the things to accomplish. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall never destroy it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of God. And he gave those keys to Peter. And we remember that those keys are clear and sound the same even we speak about them 2,000 years later. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the way how the Lord is adding people to the church, to his body. So self-supporting. As we go to the mission field, we have to have in mind the concept that someday these people that we are trying to reach out, where we plant the seed of the gospel, that they will be self-supporting. We don't want to create the group of people that are constantly dependent on foreign funds. Secondly, they would be self-propagating. They need to be able not only to focus to work in the local congregation, but they need to be able to reach out beyond their counties, going out to different cities, finding people who are receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you think about missions in this way, missions become something that you want to do. Because it is not that it depends on you. It is something that God initiated from the beginning. Before the foundation of the world, God said that, hey, you need to go out. The gospel is not just for you, but the gospel is for you to share it with others. And then the third point, self-governing. They need to establish elders the same way as Paul did in the first century. And he would make two, three, or four mission trips, and then he would appoint elders, and they would be going forward. We need a Christianity today that goes forward, not constantly trying to fix things of the past. What is hope today? Think about the faith. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God or to come to God. It is impossible to do missions if we don't have that kind of faith. that Jesus makes it grow. And then we see, what is that faith? Chapter 11, verse 1, that the faith is based on the hope. Is that the hope of the past accomplishments? Or is it the hope of today? Where do you stand? And if you stand strong in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, you recognize that there's a tremendous need in the 21st century to reach out. And then as you're thinking about what's happening today and you encounter the all of the resources to reach out, then you think of the future. And what is the future? Because you need to hurry up, because our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back rather soon. Of what we are seeing, what's happening in our country today, we think that he's coming almost like, you know, shortly. I was warned not to talk about politics. How can you do that? I mean, I stopped watching even news. I can't listen to this. I've been living long enough in Poland where propaganda was taking over the people's ears and minds. And now we got to the point we don't even know what is the truth. So we need to focus on the most important task ever given to every human being who trusts in Jesus Christ. It is to share the gospel. And what is that gospel? Is it something that we just take and bring the food? It's a good thing to do. We need to feed the hungry. But is it that's all that we do in missions? I think with bringing food, we need to bring the good news, which is not just the resurrection, that someday they will be risen and living in a good place, but the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2 and 3 says that is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. This is the message. So people, as they look and try to understand what Jesus had done, they need to die to sin. They need to repent of their sins. They need to bury those sins, leave them in the waters of baptism, and begin a new life, be resurrected, be born again. And not to look back. That's not hope. That's depressing. Looking back, it makes us feel like we are unable to do mission work. We are unable to make progress in our personal Christian life. A missionary. Who is that missionary? I have come with this particular definition, and I thought it kind of fits our study this morning. It is a person who leaves their family for a while, so others can be with their families forever. And here's the defining point. You probably already know that, but I just want to make sure. If you're a student at Freed here across the street, you may consider short-term missions. You want to go on a summer campaign and touch the hearts of the people wherever God puts you on the thinking where you want to go. So it's from just maybe a week in a mission place to 2 years. And then the long-term mission is always connected with more than 2 years commitment to serve in a foreign land. Poland is a unique place. And I want to ask you, if you are a potential missionary or teacher of God's word, and you're considering someday in your life to fulfill your dream to come to Poland, it's a great place. But in that location as well happened the most atrocity of the world. Nazi death camp in Auschwitz. And you're always thinking about some small thing that happened. That is not a small thing. There are three different camps. If you have an opportunity, you need to go there and see it. I remember George W. Bush with his wife, they locked the camp and they made it available just for them to tour it. And they spent so many hours there, so many tears, they couldn't believe that just because these people were born in that particular time in the world history, they had to die. Close to 6 million people lost their lives there. Now, when you understand that, you understand that that's where the World War II began. I actually was born in the city where World War II began in 1939 in Europe. And you think about how you're going to reach out to people and teach them the good news. They have experienced so much pain and suffering. When you're thinking about reaching out people, you need to consider to reach them at their level. You need to first learn to listen and to see where they are spiritually, where are they aiming, what are their purposes in life, and see how these purposes and how this information fits to some of the scriptures. You cannot just invent your own way. You always have to have a scripture because it is written. Because the Bible says so, this is the reason why I'm talking to you. This is the reason why I want to share in God's love. I want to help you to experience a better life, to be transformed by the grace and mercy of God. Polish Constitution, even though guarantees the freedom of conscience and religion to all citizens, has a unique approach. You remember that years ago there was a Polish Pope. What an interesting individual who always was open for many nations and countries to be connected together. His wisdom and ability to speak more than 10 languages enabled him to reach out to millions of people. But then notice that even Roman Catholic Church was heavily persecuted and people were put to jail. It is the time, as Ron mentioned, that people were talking about my father being in prison. There were others as well imprisoned at the same time because communists were afraid why people would worship and consider to violate their law to worship in the private apartment and to come there every week and partake in the Lord's Supper. Why would they do that? And for the communist government, they need to see everything. But this, what happened, was a spiritual level. The unseen God was blessing the people who have chosen to live in a certain way. This is a few years ago, we were able to take a group of our members from the Barley Woods Church in Arlington, Tennessee. We had a group of close to 15 people, and we traveled to Poland, and we visited congregation. This is our visit and worship with Christians in Warsaw. They were so delighted and happy to see us. Notice how young the age of how people are. That generation is so young. That is important. I don't want to get in troubles and say that the age matters. We are eternal, folks. If you're in Christ, you're eternal. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're eternal. Okay, so let's make peace in our congregation. All right, no preference age. Well, I'm in the mid-50s, and I feel so much older. This is also how beautiful that is. That is a 17th century architecture that is so particular for Poland, for Germany, and for Amsterdam. This particular picture is taken in Gdańsk, in the place where the World War II began in 1939. There are five qualities of effective missionaries. If you are considering to be the servant of the Lord in this capacity, these are the qualities that you're looking for to find emotional stability. You need to be stable, self-controlled, with all of these attributes that the Holy Spirit has given you at the time of conversion. You have to be kind, nice, loving, self-controlling, and have emotional stability, not to overreact. Even if you don't understand something, you don't just go and shake everybody's out and say, well, you need to translate to me, or you need to do this for me. We are not, when we go to the mission field, we are not to be served. We are sent out to be the servants, to lead them to a deeper understanding of the scripture. Well, spiritual maturity, what I imply here is you got to know the Bible. You're not just going to share your own experiences. You need to know what the Bible says about certain concepts and issues of life. And you need to be an effective teacher of God's word. If you don't teach here, then if you leave to go and work in the foreign land, will you be the teacher there? You will have to because people will look up to you, but you will not be prepared. And number four, effective interpersonal communications. And that is something that you need to understand that people are alike around the world, but because of their customs and cross-cultural differences, sometimes they do the same thing in a different way. The question for a future missionary is, will I accept the different way of the same thing that I do here? As we look in the scripture, we look at Paul, he says, well, with the Jews, I am just like a Jew. I understand their customs. I understand where they come from. I want to be all to those with whom I serve. So you want to listen and understand in order to make the progress that they can come closer to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. An aptitude of training to plant churches, nurture new Christians, and equip national church leaders. I want to emphasize that short-term mission, it is not a tourist travel adventure, even though it might be combined with the church work. But it is something that you're focusing on, completely a different concept. You're focusing on reaching out to the few, and then as you teach them, that they would be willing to go and share the same information with others. That's the multiplication. That's the true discipleship. And we'll talk a little bit later today how Jesus was able to prepare and authorize disciples how they should go, how they should truly invest themselves in the mission of the Lord. Oftentimes, the 21st century, even though there are more people going to the mission field, but they are not truly prepared. And you have great advantage here having the Christian University just right across the street. That's where the emphasis and the pool of future missionaries will come from. Notice that when I was in Warsaw with my family, we had the ongoing short-term mission summer trips of Oklahoma Christian students that would come. A group of 25 would come in May, and they would work with us for 4 weeks. 3 weeks they would work in the Bible Institute to teach Bible in English, and then 1 week was devoted that they could travel around Europe just to see, to be more acquainted what's happening and what Europe is all about. It was a great time. I just wanted to point out that out of this group that you see here, now you have at least half of them already serving as missionaries full-time, long-term, in different parts of Europe. This short-term mission trip actually generated a motivation within them, and they became so interested in going and serving the Lord. So short-term mission trips could enhance our approach to missions and could empower us to do even better, effective work. Well, did you know that Poland boasts the most winners of the World's Strongest Men title? They're kind of macho men, you know. I don't know too much about it. And then also, please notice that when you try to reach out Ukrainians or Belarusians or Slovaks or Lithuanians or Germans in Poland, then you bring an offense to Polish people. And also, you may think about that sometimes we are so focused in Europe right now that we're going to reach out to the refugees. It's a great thing to do that. But the core of the mission is you need to have a stable church planted that they can do that on a regular basis. More interesting facts about Poland. I will skip through. I noticed that my time is running. I would pick your brain for hours, but don't allow me to do that. Polish people like to talk a lot. And, you know, it's so interesting, the difference, cultural difference between Polish and American people, that Americans, they say, well, goodbye, and you just walk out of the room. And Polish person says, do widzenia, goodbye, and they never leave the room. Looking at some interesting facts, you know who is Nicolaus Copernicus? Mikołaj Kopernik, that's how it's properly pronounced in the native language. He was the first person to propose that the earth was not the center of the universe. Notice that literacy rate in Poland is higher than 99%. That surpasses many counties of this country. It's amazing to me. 90% of Poles have completed at least secondary education, the highest score in the European Union, with Czechs and Slovaks. You know, the Czechs and Slovaks, that comes from the former Czechoslovakia. Now, Poland was a communist country from 1945 and to 1989. Poland joined NATO and was in the forefront. We had Polish soldiers fighting by the side of American soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. We are friends now. We are on the same side. And that is important for Polish people, to have strong allies like America. Poland is a home to Auschwitz and the most famous of Nazi death camps. It is located outside of Krakow. If you ever come to Poland, you cannot leave Poland without going there. You have to bring your high school kids. You have to bring everyone to let them know what atrocities took place in the 20th century. What is the sad part of human history? The teaching of German language in Poland was forbidden for 40 years after World War II, just because of the occupation. In 1975 or 95, its country ceased to exist for 123 years until 1911. So why Roman Catholicism is so big in Poland? It is big because during the time when Poland ceased to exist, Roman Catholic priests would teach Polish language and Polish culture and history to many people underground, risking their lives. So they have a strong part in the Polish history. And that's why people are not just Catholics because they know better Bible or better principles. They're Catholics because they're Polish. It's a national religion. The unit of currency, and you could care less, Polish zloty, you know, that's just nothing. It's like three zlotys to $1 or so. Who cares, actually? You know, the Lord can provide anything at any place. We strongly believe that. And how he was able to divide the languages of the world, we read in the first part of the Bible. He's able to give more currencies to figure out the economic world. God works all of our circumstances, even in missions. As we consider giving to that cause, we need to consider God. We are not doing it for our own glory. We are doing it for God's glory. And he deserves every ounce of our devotion. Paul's mission to the Gentiles was very simple. And I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Here's the key point to any missions in the world. We talk about the essence, the foundation principle. First of all, who is the sender agency? That's God himself. We cannot just send ourselves to the mission, to the places where we would like to live, or as people do sometimes. But we need to be sended by the Lord, approved by the church, and trained to handle cross-cultural differences. Notice that by sharing the good news, people are sanctified. That means they are set apart for God's glory. So your presence overseas needs to bring a result. And that result is that people need to more be focused on Jesus, him being crucified, him being buried, and him being risen. That's the good news, that as humans, even though we are oftentimes in the captivity of sin, but we are forgiven, we are cleansed and purified by that very essential blood of Jesus Christ that has the power. We don't have the power. The blood of Jesus Christ has the power. Jesus is our power. And as we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the dunamis. It's a dynamite, I would say, to save man. It's the power. Do you know the gospel? Do you know the word of God? To share that power with others, that people can see the transformation, that people can see the willingness to move away from sin, because they see that the power stands behind them and pushes them the right direction, pushes them to the cross of suffering. Acts chapter 26, verse 17, clearly indicates that Paul was not doing mission work on his own. He was sent out. Just a few pictures before I close, looking at the time. This is how the worship service looked for us for 14 years. In Warsaw, Poland, when we established the church there. We had the Wednesday evening services as well. And I think that's a good time even though there's a trend in our world today that we want to move away from all of these established times of the assembly, and I will not start this issue. I don't want to discuss it even. But in the mission field, people talk about it, and that they don't even question it. It's a time where they come together to learn what the Scripture teaches and how they can be helped in changing their life. Notice that oftentimes translation is necessary, and sometimes if you've already been in the mission field and use a translator, there's a lot entrusted in their hands. But once in a while, you have to verify, do they really convey the same message that you are trying to preach? You have to do that. Notice that it's fun to be in Europe and do the church work because oftentimes there are retreats, there are times that they get together to sing, and singing is the most inspiring thing that you can do. Think about that. That when you go to the mission field, be ready to sing with the people. Bring your own songs. Sing in English. Show them your enthusiasm. Singing is powerful. You don't have to already divide with them on the first appointment. Showing the scriptures that you studied all your life and they just found out for the first time that even such scripture exists in the Bible. Take it easy. Be patient. And you'll be more successful. People fervently study the Bible, and it is important for us to always know the scripture reference. A lot of kids, if you have an interest in sharing the gospel, this is the generation where the gospel needs to be pointed out to. There has to be some kind of a project and something to reach out to those children, because through those children, you will bring the parents in. There are so many churches that could be established in 38 million country of Poland. With the size, territorial size of Poland is equivalent to New Mexico State. And you think that this is such a tiny state, New Mexico. Poland is similar size, but only the difference is with 38 million people plus. Warsaw Bible Study, as one of my co-workers, because we were a part of the mission team, and he's teaching a small group Bible study. And all of these people were baptized there after 4 to 5 weeks of studying with them. But notice, the Bible, everybody looks into the Scripture. They want to know on their own. Notice that during our last visit, we also had the opportunity to feel what it's like to be on the mission field. We have rented the facility at the center of the city, and we invited all of the people to preach to them, to teach them the gospel, to inform them that if they want to, they could probably do the church planting for the second or the third congregation there, if that's necessary. And they brought their friends as well. And this is what happens. When the Lord opens people's hearts, we had this portable baptistry there that probably they use those. That's the one thing that we imported from the United States, the portable baptistry. Because where you preach, you got to be ready. You never know when their heart is open. And that is what we should always depend on God more than on our own skills. There were situations in the Bible Institute when somebody would say, I totally understand everything you shared with me for the past 3 months. And I decided that I will be baptized on December the 3rd. And then you say, no, you need to be baptized now. No, you got to be patient and wait. Because the Lord is opening up the opportunity. Waiting on the Lord is the key issue. And notice also, just to give you a clue, I don't know how well you can see that, notice that we would have many stations in one room. Our assembly, church assembly place, we would transform during the short-term summer mission trip into stations where we would have two students, studying with a person that is interested in learning about the Bible and learning about God. And we would have them in the same room. That changes the dynamics of everything. And they would have over close to 600 or 700 hours after 3 weeks. What an amazing, amazing job. This is Janusz. He became a leader of the Warsaw Church. Did a fantastic job. That's how it looked like. That's in front of our meeting place that we had in Warsaw. And notice here, this is the key. If you forgot everything that I said today to you, why won't you notice this? Some wise men said this about missions. Don't bring us the gospel as a potted plant, but bring it as a seed and plant it in our soil. Let us not bring just all of the American issues of the church into the mission field. Let us just focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us start and spark that fire, because we do not have the spirit of timidity. Even if we say few words, but we have powerful God behind us. And I thank you so much. I'm so getting so really excited over this, but I think that this is what we need to think about in the 21st century. And this is our Polish mission team, summer 2013. And we are ever thankful for the elders at Barley Woods to be able to make this trip happening. And this is one of our first converts. I always come back to his picture. It was 1997 or 96. This is Bart and Tamika Rybinski. And that's one of the leaders, Richard. What is so significant about Bart and Tamika? Bart is serving as director of the Eastern European missions now as we speak. He touches the Central Europe, Eastern Europe nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, being on the mission, it works. It does work. And let us never lose that trust. Mission still works. Do you believe it? Thank you so much.